and feel the minty freshness.
Dead, 1.5 million homeless. Those are the staggering new totals that we're getting from Haiti. Musician Wyclef Jean calls for an evacuation entirely of that country. But what's the reality of that? We'll talk about it a little bit deeper here into America Tonight. Something that's been on my mind and many of yours as well. I've gotten a ton of emails on this since December 25th. And what happened, almost happened in Detroit, is what's going on in the skies? And what about the machines? And what's going to happen? And what about the puffer machines? And what about the body scanners? And what's going on with security and all that sort of stuff? And as somebody who's traveled a lot, I even just looked at my miles the other day. I had almost 300,000 since, I guess, 2003, which my buddies laughed at and said, that's nothing. I thought it was a lot. So in my travels, I've noticed some interesting things going on with security. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Right from the get-go, we're going to talk about airports and security with one of my favorite guests, aviation security expert and former pilot, Denny Kelly. Denny, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, Kate. Nice to talk to you.
We had the two things that happened in New York. First, the thing, actually New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey, and then just this weekend, the JFK problem, where a guy coming back from Haiti walked through that restricted door, set off an alarm that ended up ultimately leading to delays, the evacuation of the terminal, all that kind of stuff. And now a defense attorney comes forward and says, hey, listen, he just walked through the wrong door. That's all it's about. I think there's more to it. I mean, are we safe anymore at these airports, Denny? Or we have guards that are walking away? I mean, you're somebody who travels much more than I do, and you see it. You're on the front lines, if you will. What do you think?
Well, I don't think security is any better today than it was on September the 10th, 2001. I think the only thing that's different now is that people, the traveling public specifically, are more aware of the problem, and they're conscious of what's going on around them. And if something goes on around them that they don't like, they try to do something about it. But otherwise, the security is no better. I mean, the Newark and the JFK episodes are perfect examples of what a shambles are. Our airport security are in, and nothing's going to change until somebody finally decides to take a stance and spend the money and do it right, if that ever happens.
Yeah, and when you say spend the money, if you were in charge, what are the things you think have to be done? Where should the money be earmarked for across the board in these airports across the country?
Well, I think the money needs to be spent on the proper equipment to do these security checks. It needs to be spent on training for the people to do the security checks. And it needs to be spent on the changes to the airport entrances themselves so that they're more controllable. And the problem is that all this takes money, and the airlines don't want to pay for it, and the government doesn't want to pay for it, especially since they don't have the money to pay for it. So it's kind of a standoff between the two. So consequently, what do? They put people in uniforms that look pretty fancy, and they pay them a little more money than minimum wage. And they say, look what we've done, look how secure this is. And it's obvious it's not secure. I mean, the incident on Northwest Delta, coming into Detroit on Christmas, I think it was December 25th. I don't know if it was 24th or 25th. I can't remember now.
25th.
He's an example of that. I mean, there's so many holes in security, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and the training, it's interesting about the training. You know, there's all this tug-of-war over profiling, but I don't think it's even about profiling, not a racial profiling. I think, and you say this, train the people right. You have ex-police officers, or you have people who know what to look for. You see nervous signs or something that's not right with somebody coming through. Don't you think you could do that if there are people who are trained to see that things are obviously a little bit amiss with somebody who's nervous, et cetera, for various reasons?
Of course. I mean, until they start profiling and it doesn't necessarily mean racial profiling, but until they start profiling, they're not going to be able to efficiently screen and efficiently protect people. I can remember back in 1987 when I was flying out of London back to Dallas. And I remember very well the procedures, and I remember very well standing in line, and the gentleman walked up to me and started talking to me. And within 2 or 3 minutes, it was obvious that he was screening me, and I didn't even hardly know it. And he turned around and walked away. And we're going to have to screen people, we're going to have to profile, and we're going to have to get people to do that, and we're going to have to train people to do that. But the problem is the politicians don't want to do that. They're afraid of losing some votes, so they don't want to vote for it, but it's going to have to be done.
Yeah. As somebody, and you gave a great example there, as somebody who's traveled for all these years and flown as well, and you say we're not any more secure than after 9/11, you take a look at this and you see these airports from the big to the regional to the really teeny tiny ones, and we look at now the argument with air security over the whole privacy thing. I mean, here's what I say. I agree with you. If you want to profile me, you want to talk to me, whatever, I don't care, because I want to be safe on the flight. I want my family to be safe when they fly. So I agree. There's nothing that's probably too invasive. Now, they're talking about the body scanners as not being effective anyway in the sense of the underwear with the bomber Abdullah Muttalib, that you wouldn't actually have been able to maybe have caught that. Do you know much more about the body scanners and how effective they are or not?
Well, I think the body scanners can be very effective. Again, you have to have the right equipment, and you have to have people trained to use it. But I think the problem is that there's so many people who don't want the body scanners used because they're afraid that they're going to impinge on somebody's civil rights. And so they put out the word that they're not any good, that they don't work, and they would have caught him, and they would catch other people. And, of course, they improve these things all the time. But, again, they're expensive to buy and expensive to train people to use them. I mean, I can remember back, I was on a committee back in 1974 for airport safety and security when we were facing all the hijackings of Cuba. And I can remember the procedures that we looked at and everything that we tried to do and all the resistance we had. And you come all the way up to today, 36 years later, and nothing's changed. There's resistance to the stuff that works. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, flying on an airliner is a privilege. It's not a right. If you don't want to be body scanned or searched or questioned or profiled, drive your car or take a bus or do something else or don't go. But I'm like you. I want to be safe. I want my family and friends safe. And if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
Yeah, different world for sure. Denny, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us on ATN right here from the get-go.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, the TSA, by the way, already has 40 scanners in operation at 19 airports. I think I've talked about this before. 6 machines are being used for primary screening spots at 6 airports, 34 other machines at 13 other airports, and then the secondary screening as alternatives to pat-downs. They're talking about this additional 300 units. They cost up to $170,000 apiece. They say they're going to be rolled out in the airports by the end of the year. But at what cost? The ACLU, of course, says no way. These graphic images are inappropriate and should not happen. All right, coming up, Martin Luther King Day and some other odds and ends. Hang with us.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine
steam-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirandAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners, will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood? I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. One day, down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
All right, famous, famous words. Just a chunk of the speech, of course, from Martin Luther King, who I mentioned some of the highlights, of course, of King's career. We all know that big speech. But winning the Nobel Prize, putting the money back into civil rights, it is a time of reflection whenever you think of Martin Luther King. And many people believe that Martin Luther King Jr. has taught them what America could be from long ago, 1963 and forward, and how far have we come since then? I think that when you look back, and of course, for me, I was too young to know as much about the civil rights movement, only learning it in history books and talking to people and interviewing some amazing people on shows that I've had. But if you roll your mind back to that time and think of where we were as a country, as much as there are divides and as much as race seems to be that taboo thing of discussing race and where we are and words and all that stuff, I still believe we have taken a huge step forward. It's in your mind, just remember. And Martin Luther King Day is a good day to remember this. Discrimination is always, always cowardly and ignorant. And it is the greatest, greatest challenge to the future of America and to the future of the world, no doubt. We are zigging and zagging all over the place at the tail end of Martin Luther King Day, but what else is new on America Tonight? Coming up a little bit later in this hour, we have a dungeon moment, and a well-deserved dungeon moment, by the way. Somebody who once again went back on his word in Washington. I know you're stunned by that, with the politicians and all. But we opened up and I mentioned staggering numbers starting to emerge. Everybody's trying to put a number on it, on the amount of people who have been killed in Haiti and who are homeless and all that sort of thing. What's interesting, and we're going to talk to a doctor tomorrow night that scrambled, pulled every string he could, scrambled, took seven doctors with him for 48 hours to go and help. And then realizing that the supplies were so awful, that there was so much that was needed, asked for a jet to be sent with supplies back to Haiti. And, of course, landing on a runway that was falling apart. And we're going to talk, like I said, we're going to talk to him tomorrow night, because he hadn't slept in 4 days or he would have come on the show tonight. But I look forward to that conversation with Dr. Richard Toussaint and his crew over at Forest Park, because they just did an amazing thing. I had the initial talk with him today with one of his people about how they had to really, really put things in motion. And it gave me a different perspective on things that are happening. But in Port-au-Prince, there was concern over a lot of Americans who were missing, including some students. And they found a student, 23-year-old first-year student, finally was found and rescued on Monday. This is a week after that earthquake flattened almost all of Haiti, right? She didn't think anybody else was even alive in the wreckage of the university. What she did was, see, there's always these stories. This is your silver lining. This is your miracle. Maxine Fallon just was praying and hoping someone would help her. She was underneath everything. She tried to stay conscious. She was in pain there in the fetal position. Somehow rescuers could hear her. They heard reports that text messages had been sent from beneath that area. So they continued to look. And I mentioned she was trying to keep herself awake, so she was drifting in and out. They did transport her to the hospital, obviously dug her out, found her. That's an incredible, incredible thing. And there are still other stories like this that are emerging from that area. A six-year-old was found by local folks and rushed to a field hospital that was set up by some Israelis at the Port-au-Prince soccer field. And I mentioned the other day that five people were pulled from a grocery store, what was left of a grocery store. So how incredible is that, that they still found somebody alive on Monday, and even on Sunday, 60 people found alive by rescue teams from the United States, Israel, and all these other nations. That is the incredible moment for some of the people who are there digging and hoping and still at it, because I've never heard of that. I've never heard of someone surviving for that long of a period. Of course, anything's possible, but with poor communications and trying to relay people to different parts of the city and there is no city because, you know, most of the buildings are destroyed. What an amazing thing to have had happen. And in the middle of all of this, you have looting and you have problems with keeping people calm. So the stories that are being played out are just absolutely incredible. And also what I think is incredible is how generous Americans have been. Despite everything, you know, that of course we're talking about on America Tonight, the frustrations, the political frustrations that bubble over, everybody's set aside for a couple of seconds, and really people have reached out and have donated whatever they can donate, whether it's just $10 in a text to the Red Cross or whoever you choose to go through, someone privately that you know every dime is going to go to the people in Haiti to buy the supplies, to do whatever it is that they need to have done. And from what I understand, it's just been incredible, the outpouring, the amazing outpouring of so many people from not just the United States, too, by the way, although certainly Americans have given an amazing amount, but people around the world are doing that. So there's not a lack of the inpouring of funds. It's just a question of getting the situation set up. A little bit later in the show, I happened to catch an interview that Andrea Mitchell did with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and she dispelled some of the myths of stories that were coming out of Haiti and then talked about what were the real hang-ups, what was really holding things back as far as rescue efforts, getting supplies to the people, and all that kind of stuff. And I thought it was pretty interesting because you kept hearing about these bottlenecks. And of course, if you have a whole city flattened, any amount of buildings, and especially you have to think 7.0, can you imagine? I mean, that's off the charts on the Richter scale. So, of course, there's going to be problems. You're going to have people in the street that are sleeping in the streets. You have to contend with getting around them. And you've got to clear out the rubble, but you can't do that until you make sure that you've gone through the areas where people still might be breathing. I don't know if you can go further into the week, maybe a couple more days, and there may be more people to be found. The 23-year-old, the 6-year-old are perfect examples of that. So they can't exactly go in there with bulldozers and start gutting it, and then, of course, pulling out bodies. It's getting through the immediate emergency. Then you turn the efforts toward rebuilding and infrastructure and getting back on track so the people can take care of themselves. And you think of this country, it's a country where most Haitians, I think 80%, live on about $2 a day. Whew, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Imagine if you had to live in the United States on $2 a day. You can always throw in your 800-259-5791. You might want to wait until you hear who I'm throwing in the dungeon next on ATN.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract, 100% organic, no negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, neighbor. They say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Certainly, we'd never intend to procrastinate getting our own food supply until there was none left at any price. We would intend to have plenty of food so the relief organizations could care for those unable to care for themselves. We would intend not to be standing in the bread line with the ignorant and the foolish who pretend the facts of food disappearance are untrue. If the experience of the Katrina disaster is evidence, the bread line may have no bread. Just like the good intentions on the road to that unheavenly place, the good intentions alone to get a supply of food will not feed us. Only getting our food supply immediately will make us independent and fearless for the future. Call 800-409-5633. 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Who am I? Someone who cares.
the Pants song, Sweeping the Nation. Everybody's talking about it. This is a moment from American Idol. Simon Cowell rips into the guy who sings the Pants song. He becomes an overnight sensation, and it's all over YouTube, and now people are making fun of the song and quoting the song, and that was a brilliant little piece there. Neil Young version of Pants on Jimmy Fallon. I mean, how great was that? And just to let you know what the original song sounded like, here is the Pants song that swept the nation.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with the bowl in your mouth, hat turned sideways, pan hit the ground, call yourself a cool cat, looking like a fool, walking downtown with your pants on the ground, giddy up, hey, get your pants off the ground, looking like a fool, walking, talking with your pants on the ground, giddy up, hey, get your pants off the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
All right, so that's what spurred this on. That was a contestant on American Idol. And now, like I said, it's cropping up in different ways. I mentioned this before. Brett Favre also referenced the Pants song as he was applauding his team for the way the Vikings ripped the Cowboys' heads off in that game on Sunday. All right, pretty funny. You just, like I said before, you never know what's going to become a little slice of pop culture history, and certainly this is one of those moments. Were you surprised, Matt, when Brett Favre did the Pants thing? I thought that was actually pretty clever. And it, of course, got a lot of buzz anyway, and the locker room was going to get, was going to be pumped up on YouTube and whatnot, but I think that made it even bigger.
I had heard about it, but I'd never heard the actual song until I saw the Brett Favre thing. But I had heard about it in circles, people kind of talking about it and whatnot. But I'm not a frequent viewer of American Idol. So I actually had to do the YouTube search and see the original song. And then that led me to the Jimmy Fallon one, too. So I'm well-versed in the Pants song now.
I know, isn't it crazy? I mean, you think of different things, whether it's commercials or something that's happened on the tube or lines from movies, the famous lines from movies like The Terminator. There's a million of those. Go ahead, make my day, and then they end up on T-shirts and whatnot. And this is one of those moments. It's just a weird thing that caught fire from a guy that wasn't really that great, that was on American Idol, but had a funny moment with that Pants little ditty with that rap, and Simon Cowell, as I said, ripping his head off, and it caught fire.
Yeah, and I think the guy is actually, he's like 52 or 62, I can't remember which
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, with the internet these days, it seems like it's so much easier for everyone to get their little slice of 15 minutes.
Boy, isn't that true.
Way?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's something can become a phenomenon overnight because of the internet with Facebook and Twitter and everyone using like YouTube and just sending links across to emails and everything. It's overnight sensations pop up everywhere because I'm sure everyone who watched American Idol saw that clip. Then they found the video of it. Then they emailed all their friends, used Twitter to get the message out, and pretty soon everyone knew about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's true. It's that the 15 minutes now has become fame in half a second. You might still get the 15 minutes, but like Andy Warhol said, but it literally takes the speed of light for it to happen, and we're seeing it right and left, especially I think in the last couple of years, and that was the Pants moment was one of them. All right, quickly, I want to hit some of the headlines, including the staggering scope of what's going on in Haiti, the numbers. Now they're saying 200,000 dead. Boy, that number keeps changing. And 1.5 million people are homeless. They've allowed, rather, orphaned Haitian kids to be allowed in the U.S. They're also leaving the Haitians who are here illegally, giving them kind of what's equivalent to a time out because of not wanting to take the people back there and dropping them in that situation. It would make it that much worse. there are many, many facets to this very, very sad, growing nightmare, sad story. And a lot of people reaching out in the United States and elsewhere to help the people on the ground in Haiti. I know many of you have seen the images. On our next show, we're going to talk with a doctor who spent 48 hours in Haiti, pulled a few strings, got there on Saturday, just arrived today, was exhausted, or he was going to come on America Tonight, but it's going to come on tomorrow night. So we'll talk to him about his impressions on what he saw, what it was like, and actually, it was so bad that he asked that a jet go back and pick up some more supplies, but he was luckily able to do that and help the people where he was in one hospital outside of Port-au-Prince, and it's apparently really, really awful. Certainly we all know that from looking at the pictures and the video and whatnot. All right, Massachusetts voters are literally just hours away from really deciding perhaps the fate of healthcare reform. It's a real cliffhanger, if you will, this election, as to whether or not Martha Coakley or Scott Brown will win that Kennedy seat. There has not been a Republican senator from Massachusetts, the bluest of blue states. I've said this a couple of different times since 72. Can you imagine? And according to the polls, Brown is either ahead or they're neck and neck. But how will the voters vote when it counts, when it's on the line? And of course, Brown is riding the discontent among the voters in that bid for his seat. And of course, we go back to health care, and it's not a cakewalk anymore, that even in places where ultimately think, oh, that's too liberal, that'll never happen, there is massive voter frustration with, you know, Barack Obama, particularly when it comes to health issues, and the idea of trying to foist that through in the summer has hit people particularly hard, worried about what ultimately their premiums are going to be and who's getting what piece of what and how much it's going to cost and who's going to be taxed. And, you know, Coakley is promising to be the key 60th vote that Senate Democrats need to move a final version of the national health care bill to Obama's desk. Brown is the opposite. He's vowing to be the 41st vote against the measure, which is critical, a crucial vote in upholding a Republican filibuster. So you have the polls showing him in some places a little bit ahead, and in other places they're pretty much neck and neck. But these are polls. The actual voting takes place hours from now, and all eyes from Washington and across the states are certainly there. If you're not a fan of health care reform, which many of you were as frustrated as I was, I think if they need more competition, if anything, this helps the insurance companies erase the state lines. There are other things that can absolutely be done, but the tentacles that wrap itself around the body of what's being called health care reform is absolutely ridiculous. This kind of slipped under the wire for some people, but not for us, and then it was now being reported widely. The FBI invoked non-existent terrorism emergencies or persuasions, they say, or persuaded phone companies to provide information as they were gathering about 2,000 records between 2002 and 2006. On America Tonight, we talked about this a bunch, and they're saying now that the FBI violated those laws. So what's happening now is the Bureau specifically is looking in 2007 that there were some phone records, and the Justice Department is expected to release a report this month detailing the extent of the problem. Is anybody stunned by this? I don't think so, right? Specifically, what it is the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. It kicks back to 86. And there you would cite non-existent emergencies to collect records. So they say that the request should have been stopped from being made that way. Ooh, this is going to get real nasty in Washington. Stay with us. There you go.
Have you ever needed something but you forgot? You know, some of our Life Change Tea customers forget to order, and then they ask us for some rush shipping. What if it was automatic? You know, no gimmicks, just your product smooth sailing to you automatically. And what if there was free tea? In AutoShip, there's some free tea, so call us for details. That's 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Our AutoShip program has no lock-ins, and you can cancel at any time. Free tea. If AutoShip be, so call us. There's no better way to jumpstart your health. Look us up at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Through the list trying to find at least five names, a show that you know. Anybody hear of a woman named Paula Deen cooking, southern accent? Ever hear of another southern woman, big boobs, big hair, big folksy attitude? Dolly Parton, she's celebrating a birthday. Paula Deen celebrating a birthday. How about Jody Sweetin? Some of you younger guys will know who she is. Lately, sadly, she's had problems with drugs and whatnot, but supposedly she's back on the right track. Junior Seau says he is done with the Patriots, could go into sports broadcasting. He celebrates a pretty big birthday. If she were still walking the planet, Janis Joplin would be celebrating a pretty interesting birthday as well. But we'll get to those in just a minute. In the meantime, it's Team Conan or Team Leno. Which are you? Weigh in. AmericaTonight.net, AmericaTonight.net. Through the rest of the week, we're going to take those and collect them for anybody who watches late night, because I'm curious as to how this audience, we keep talking about polls and politicians, well, just for fun, how about late night? Where do you fall when it comes to the late night wars? It's pretty much winding down, however, because there's no question that the NBC guys have backed, for some reason, I say for some reason, I'm in a way kind of stunned, because they wanted to keep Conan O'Brien at the network, But now they've gone with Leno and putting him back in that situation. So what kind of ratings is he going to get when he goes back to his old slot? I don't know. It's kind of the final farewell, and you can feel that on the air, don't you think so, Matt?
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch full episodes, obviously, because I spend a lot of my time here
doing this.
But I catch the clips, and we play them for the audience as much as possible. Tomorrow we'll probably get the monologue that was on air tonight, so if you're heading home from work, don't worry. We got you covered tomorrow. And I don't know. I think it's made for some really great TV, especially, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel and Conan O'Brien. I think I've said this over and over again, but those two guys, I think, have been making me laugh more than anyone else in the last week or so.
Oh, yeah. It's just too easy. I mean, it's just too easy to blast them. And, you know, it's funny. Leno did make one funny comment the other night that I happened to see. It was a night when we weren't on, and he said CBS is now developing a new sitcom about the troubles here at NBC. He said it's called Two Men and a Half-Ass Network. That's what the network's becoming, because it's just crazy. Usually on this level you wouldn't see. There's plenty of backstabbing and messing people over and whatever, but normally you wouldn't see something like this with an institution like the Tonight Show. I mean, you had the thing with Letterman and Leno, but then once that was settled, they went their separate ways. Letterman goes on to his fame. Leno takes over the Tonight Show. Ba-dump, it's done. And then to have this happen, it's been really ugly in that sense.
But I think it's been also kind of fun, too, for the viewing audience. Because
oh, yeah.
We're getting a peek at kind of the behind the scenes of how this is all shaping out. And it's like happening right before your eyes, because you're seeing the bitter employee in Conan going after his bosses and the executives at NBC. And then you're seeing, you know, the coworker Jay Leno trying to, you know, save face and try to not come out as looking at the bad guy that he kind of is right now. And especially with all the Hollywood types at the Golden Globes last night, it seemed like Jeffrey Zucker is just taking the brunt of all this, because he had NBC was in the 90s was the number one network. They had the number one news program, number one night show, number one their Thursday night lineup with Seinfeld and Friends and all those other shows that was going on, and he's just taken it and tanked it.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, just such a crazy way to wind this down, that we're drawn into this drama, and I think Matt's right. It has been fun. It has been kind of interesting to watch some of the kickbacks across the board from the different comedians. And now what happens with the rest of the lineup? I guess Fallon would move up, it would seem, but who knows? They haven't announced those plans. We'll keep you updated. Team Leno, Team Letterman, which are you? AmericaTonight.net, or neither. Maybe you hate late night TV. Maybe this audience isn't the audience that gets any of their jokes and thinks it's all boring and you could care less about the celebrities. I think people listening to this show are either fall into one of two categories. Either they're definitely all political all the time, or maybe a little political, but just like Tom in Kansas calling earlier said, we need something light. And he wanted to talk a little sports. Speaking of light, news you can abuse. There's some interesting things here. Would you ever give your dog CPR? In Alaska, they've learned to do mouth-to-snout resuscitation, they call it. About 24 people attended over the weekend the 3-hour Red Cross class on first aid for dogs. Students learn how to perform the Heimlich maneuver on a choking dog. They also teach them CPR, and that's what they do. They said the dog is so close to the human technique, it's not even funny. But, hey, a human isn't likely to lick you, right? Giving the dog mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, I guess, hey, whatever you have to do to save your dog. And especially in Alaska, that kind of makes sense, because you think of dogs, the snow. You know what I'm talking about. How about this from Bridgeport, Connecticut, as we have people listening in Connecticut. The 911 dispatcher got an odd phone call about a guy and a teddy bear Apparently what happened, there was a life-size mannequin and a teddy bear that sit on top of a billboard above I-95. It's actually an ad for local BMW dealers' offer of an overnight test drive. The mannequin is wearing pajamas. Officials at the dealership say their unconventional billboard is definitely proven to be effective. Let's face it, controversy sells, or hitting it outside of the lines, or coloring outside of the lines, as I like to say, taking a step in a different direction, right? The path less traveled, and the people obviously didn't know what they were looking at, so they started to call and started to ask questions. This from Muncie, Indiana. You might think today's college students have had enough of Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, sick of it. But Ball State University is bringing even more electronic media to about 100 students. Their dorm at the Indiana school is being tricked out with computers, TVs, video equipment, and editing software. It's a so-called living learning community. University officials said the idea is to help students appreciate the creative freedom of their new technology while using it responsibly. Ugh, overload. Students in the dorm know they might end up in someone's video shoot just about any time. I don't think I'd like that one at all. All right, if we wind back the clock in history, just quickly, a couple of fun things I'll tell you. On this day in history, 1949, the salary of the President of the United States was increased from $75,000 to $100,000, an additional $50,000 expense allowance added for each year in office. Also, in 1937, Howard Hughes set a transcontinental air record flying from L.A. to New York City in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. Birthday music, please, sir.
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, you might know Trevor O'Brien. He was a guy who appeared in Motocross on the Disney Channel. Cute kid, 26 years old. He was a kid when he was doing that. Jodie Sweetin, member Stephanie Tanner on Full House, 28 years old. Sean Wayans, 39 years old, actor, writer. He was part of that whole scary movie bunch. He was the writer of that, too, and he also acted in that. Junior Seau played for a long time with the Chargers, then went to the Patriots and says he's going to retire, 41 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, Paul McCrane, Dr. Romano on ER. His career actually started a long, long time ago in fame. He's 49 years old. Janis Joplin would have been 67. How about that? Desi Arnaz Jr., 57. Michael Crawford, 68. Phantom of the Opera. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you from America Tonight.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
I appreciate your understanding. Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself. Thank you. Don't mention it.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.